Discovery's four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle functions.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0, FMV, liftoff.
Hello, world, and welcome to, unfortunately, the only tech podcast that's left on the air. All the other ones, they kind of quit. The Gadget Cast. My name is Gregory McFadden, joined always with my co-host, Travis M.C.
Space travel.
P.
Where's the Justine?
I just say space travel.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Yes. We're back for another week, doing it again. Because, you know, we have nothing else better to do, basically.
Hey, my time is very valuable. You know, coming here, it takes up a lot of time. And I have to edit the podcast, too. So it takes up even more time than Travis. So
that's true.
That is true. For more than that. Thank you.
This is true. As long as you're editing that tail piece, I keep forgetting to turn off for whatever reason.
I will be on this podcast long enough to the point where I can sell my own blanket. And make some money from it. So, and then I will quit.
That's when we're going to quit, is when we sell our own merch. We figure we've jumped the shark as soon as we sell merch on our podcast. That sounds not like something we would ever want
to
do.
I have some cool merch ideas that I really do have to commit to, and I've been thinking about them for like a solid year and a half, and I'm just like, I need to make that, but maybe I will now. Maybe I'll be motivated to.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
You know, I'm starting to change my mind on merch. Like, I don't mind if someone wants like my shirt or something, that's cool. That's dope. But at this point, I'm like, I don't know. I kind of don't care anymore. So let's talk about what's happening as far as podcast selling merch. That would be the Genius Bar. Of course, John Prosser and Sam, whatever his last name is.
Cole. Sam Cole.
I know his last name.
Okay.
I'm just playing.
He's listening. Travis, that was just a joke.
I mean, take it for whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
We talked about that before the show. We said we're going to forget his name on purpose. That was a bit.
Always. Mm-hmm. Always. That wasn't. Mm-hmm. I just remember the store, Kohl's. Kohl's. That's all I can remember. Okay. So here's the thing. They are selling. I think they're sold out. This thing called a genius cloth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a really soft blanket. Now, I bought one. I'll tell you why.
Why'd you buy it?
I'll tell you why. The only reason I bought one, because I would not have bought it otherwise,
okay,
is because John Prosser has been a point in my creative YouTube career, so to speak, that I'm so appreciative of John that I felt like he would do the same. I feel like he would do the same for me. Like, he doesn't buy merch or anything, but if I had something that I really poured some time into and stuff, and I was like, hey, I'm going to make this thing, John, you know, I feel like he would not only promote it, he would buy one. So it just feels natural for me to support someone who has supported me. So that's why.
Well, you know, does John own a Cancel Greg shirt? I feel like that's the ultimate loyalty test that we need to figure out here.
That is a great question.
To put your theory to the test, we would have to know if he does indeed own a Cancel Greg shirt. And if he doesn't, I think you might have gotten swindled.
I probably have been swindled. My guess is he does not own one.
But yeah, this was a pretty cool idea, the genius cloth. I like the play on the Apple cloth, the infamous Apple cloth, which I do have here, mm-hmm. which was a $20, believe it or not, this was $20. Look at this, $20 for a cloth. And it sold out. It was like weeks behind. So they did a play on that. So $45 for a full size blanket. I mean, you put two of these together, you're not getting a blanket.
Hmm. Katya says, if you're selling a filled duvet, I might think about getting one. Although, to be honest, I read it wrong at first. I thought she said a bidet, which would make sense for me because I think everyone should be, purchasing a bidet. That's just me.
You know, I am surprised you actually can still buy a genius cloth.
Can you?
Yes.
I'm actually surprised by that.
Yeah. Genius cloth still available. I just went on their website. You can still buy one. So if you don't have a genius cloth yet and you want one, you can go to geniuscloth.com. That's a free plug. Geniuscloth.com, free plug. So I'll be expecting an equal plug of lesser, of equal value, of equal or greater value, as they might say.
Which would be what?
When we plug something, I would expect a plug from the folks at the Genius Bar podcast of something greater than or equal to. I'm still a little upset about the Genius Bar. I kind of joke around with them, but they had Canoopsion. We had Canoopsion, great guy. They had Luke Miani on. We had Luke Miani on multiple times. Great guy. Now they're having Rene Ritchie on. You know, Rene, I feel like he's part of our show at this point. You know, him going on other shows, I'm kind of like, all right, come on, Rene. But
Here's the test. I want to hear the rest of this, but here's the test. We are way behind on getting Nikias, who I think is still in the chat, on the show. We need to have Nikias on maybe next week or something. And let's see if he ends up on Genius Bar. That'll tell us everything. That'll be like the ultimate thing. But go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, I don't even care that Renee's really going on. Renee's on a ton of shows and, you know, deservedly so. I'm upset because what about us? You know, where's our invite to the Genius Bar podcast?
Well, so funny you say that. In the chat during the live stream, someone said you should have Travis and iCave Dave on. And John was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I mean, he wasn't sounding excited about it. And then I saw someone go, when is the Gadget Cast coming on to Genius Bar? Like, specifically. And they just never read that chat. Like, wait a minute. We will take all your audience if we come on there, 100%.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that before. I've seen the suggestion that maybe we be on the show. And, you know, it's just never a thing. So, maybe we got a stink on us. Maybe we're not that great. You know, I'll accept that. But I don't know. I feel like it's our turn to be on the podcast, you know?
It seems like it would be appropriate.
I think after Renee, you know, it's got to be us. I mean, who else could it be after that?
Nobody. Tim Cook? No, not going
to happen. Everyone here would listen to the show, right? You guys give him a listen. Or are you guys such diehard fans that I said you should never listen to the Genius Bar podcast? Maybe you wouldn't listen even if we were on. And that would be the ultimate test of loyalty. You'd be like, you know what? I'm not listening. I'm sticking to the rally call that Greg originally put out there.
Is that what you call that?
that's what I'm calling that. You know, that's the rally call that I put out there. I said, you know, Genius Bar, just another two guys talking about tech. You already got that with us. What are you going to them for? You know, give us their listen. Thank you. It was funny because I do joke around like that. And I was in the chat for that Genius Cloth stream because obviously I like John and Sam a lot if we're dropping the facade here. And I like both of them. And it was funny because I was ribbing them both in the chat. And there's some guy who just kept taking it so serious. He's like, why are you even here? Why are you even here? Can you please leave? And he was getting really upset. And I was like, poor guy.
That's hilarious. No, I saw that. That is, listen, at the end of the day, it's, we like those guys. I don't know. We're playing around. But for the most part, I know not everyone knows. As a matter of fact, didn't something like that happen? What was it? When I left a comment on your channel, you left a comment on my channel. And I remember one thing. You don't even know about this. It happens all the time, but you don't even know about this. So at the end of the video I did with Rene Ritchie a couple weeks back on my channel, and I said, cancel Greg. And he goes, cancel Greg, but they're not really, or something like that, right? Remember at the end?
Yes.
Someone in the comment section said something like, I hope you're not saying cancel people, Travis. We don't need negativity like that. I'm like, jeez.
It's one of those things where you kind of have to be in the know, and then if you never watched a Gadget Cast, you see someone say cancel, you're all of a sudden, it's happened so many times where I'll leave a joking comment on like Luke's video, and then someone would be like, what is this, and they get like really upset, and it's like, all right, calm down.
We appreciate the people who listen, and I think the show's been getting better over the last couple of weeks. We talked about how
that's optimistic.
Well, I think the last couple episodes are pretty good. I think we have excellent episodes. I think we have excellent episodes when we have guests on. I think they're excellent when we have guests on. But
we should get some.
I think we had some pretty. Yeah, we should. But I think the last couple have been pretty good.
I can't even give my own show a break. See, I'm giving these guys, you know, fun. I can't, you know, I can't even be nice to my own show. So that's the world we live in, Travis.
You can be good on this show. I mean, this show is awesome. This show is actually better than both of our channels, if we're going to be honest.
I am willing to admit that it is better than my channel for sure. I don't know about your channel, but my channel,
what are
it
you
is
talking
better.
About?
I would rather watch GadgetCast than my channel.
Let's do some Christmas.
We got
stuff.
Christmassy. Before we jump to next topic, yeah. we do have to get some merch out there, and we're gonna make it happen. There's gonna, okay. You know, I don't like merch either. You said that before the show actually went live, right? Like creator merch.
Said that before. Did we say that? I don't remember. I'm not really
Feels
sure.
So long ago. Creator merch. You guys should let us know in some feedback if you'd like to see more GadgetCast merch. We still have some technically up, but like we never promote it or anything like that. But I have some specific ideas for merch that I think would be pretty cool. The problem with merch sometimes is it's usually like a creator, and I think everyone's guilty of this, and it's like, here's a shirt with my logo on it. And then it's kind of like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, that's cool. And that's about it. Sometimes you have a catchphrase. I knew you have a catchphrase that you put on a shirt. That's kind of cooler because it's kind of like an inside thing. Like, oh, I know this. But like if a show that you watch has like a lot of references, I feel like that's good merch. And there's a ton of references on GadgetCast that would make great merch. So that's the kind of direction I like to see merch go in rather than just like, yeah, here's my logo. And it's like, all right, cool. Here's my logo on a t-shirt. Oh, you're muted.
Remember, we actually have some pretty creative people that listen. We had hats designed, which I saw my hat around here somewhere.
That's
really
true.
Nice. We had those stickers and stuff. We had some really cool stuff designed. I don't know who's listening now that has like creative designs. I don't know. We gotta be careful about that because we don't want people to go, "Oh, you're selling my." I mean, we'll definitely like shout you out and stuff, but we don't got no money. We don't even monetize this channel or anything. So, you know, if Egyptian cotton bed sheets, that would be.
Someone asked, like, where's the super chat? And it's like, I don't want your money. Come on.
No, we don't want your money. Because people send us money, then it's weird. To be honest, all the super chats we did get that one time are still in limbo. Like, they're sitting in YouTube's coffers because I haven't set up the one thing you have to set up. So, I don't know.
I do feel weird. Oh, my God. I'm on, like, 20 different topics. Go ahead. Finish your thought. And I'll go on mine.
That's fine. This is what Gadget guesses. We jump from one thing to the next. It's fine. What do you got?
No, sometimes I feel weird. Like, the more... Not like I'm like giant success Greg over here, but the more successful I get at doing YouTube and stuff like that, the more hesitant I am to take like viewers' money, if that, you know what I mean?
It's such
a weird thing. You know, I look at different types of creators. There's all different types. But like one of the creator segments that's really starting to grow, like really starting to find their own and becoming, I feel like, just as influential, if not more influential than, you know, video creators are streamers. And it's always this weird thing to me when you watch like a streamer's thing, because it is not a foreign concept for them to get donations during their stream.
Right.
Like it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But you see like some of the top streamers on Twitch, like they had like a leak recently where it's like they revealed how much money they make a year. And then when you like realize how much money those people are making and then you like go to their stream and then just see like random people probably making a lot less money than them, like giving them money. It's almost like this weird thought of like, yeah, but they don't need it. They're good. you need that money.
Well,
it's weird,
so
right?
Here's the thing. I mean, I've for a little while I was watching a lot of streaming of GTA RP, right? So, and I had super chatted a couple times. To be honest, or not super chat, whatever it's called.
I super chat all the time. So
yeah, but, I kind of do too. Like I go over. I was doing it more on Twitch than YouTube, which is a weird thing. But anyway, I've done it multiple times just because. And because I wanted to show, but a lot of times I'll do it to like smaller creators and stuff, people who actually appreciate it.
Yes.
It's rare that I will go to like a channel that's like got 3,000 or 4,000 people watching concurrently and throw into it. It's kind of rare. It's interesting because it's, you know, a lot of people when they start a YouTube channel, like I want to get to monetization, and I get it. But depending on your upbringing and depending on your sensibilities, that stuff gets really weird. I spend more time spending money on people than I do asking or getting money. And like, I'm doing videos now where I'm like giving away stuff. Like I have another one coming up where I'm giving away something. And then I have another one in my mind to do for another kind of like giveaway-ish type thing. And so I think it's a little bit about, and I feel weird when I get presents and stuff. Do you, Greg, when someone gets you something, do you feel weird?
Yeah.
Or do you like it?
I mean, if it's someone like I know well, obviously there's not that much weirdness. But yeah, if it's like some random person like giving me something, it's like, all right.
No, yeah. Thank you. So it's I don't know. It's a really interesting position to be in. I used to like as a kid getting gifts and stuff, but now I just feel weird about the whole thing. So I really appreciate when people do super chats on like my live stream stuff, and I try to give them a little love and show them, you know, that I appreciate them. But really, I just end up putting the money back into the community if I can in some way, whether it means buying new stuff that I can review or, you know, doing these videos and things that I don't even mention publicly that I do all the time. There's people I never told you this. I don't know if I told you. I actually bought a view. I can say this now because it's like a year old. I bought a viewer on iPhone 12 shortly after it came out.
Yes,
I never said anything. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and I like doing that stuff. I feel privileged enough, and I wish I had more. The only reason I care to get any more money, because I don't really care to get more money, but if the only reason I care to get more money is to be able to do really cool content where I'm inspiring other people because I'm giving cool stuff away, almost like Mr. Beast. I like the idea behind it. Yeah, it's just
Someone I obviously look up to a lot, Jonathan Morrison, does that kind of stuff all the time. And
yes,
he's someone that like he'll promote it sometimes, but like I'm telling you, like behind the scenes, this guy is giving away so much.
I'm gonna expose him right now. I'm gonna expose him right now because I was there the weekend that he shot the infamous AirPod.
iPad Pro.
iPad Pro review. So the 2018 version of the iPad Pro. He shot a review for it, and he flew people in. He bought them iPad Pro 12.9s fully decked out, and like four different people from different things, and got them these expensive. Remember, the 2018 version was like the first remake of it. You know, it was brand new, it was the hotness. Everything was like, oh my god, this is the cool iPad Pro. And like you said, he flew them in. I was there for a lot of the shooting. The shot, you know, he shot a bunch of stuff. You know, red cameras, the whole bang. He never released the video, which is kind of crazy. It's the thing that we give him a joke about. But Jonathan has been, and again, that was part of a production. So he gave away like four iPad Pros, like really expensive, like over $1,000, and never made the video. So he never made any money back from that. And he's given like phones to people, and he's done things off camera that show me that he's a really incredible human being. I love the guy. I can't wait to see him again. Sometimes not every creator is out there just to make all this type of money and be money hungry. I would love to have so much money that I could just continue to give it away. So I don't care. Cause I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like nothing about this is for my gain. I don't think.
Yes. It's why I'm hesitant to do public giveaways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool idea, and I get how it's like a community building thing. But at the same time, it is also attracting like fake viewers or fake subscribers to your channel that really are just there for a giveaway. And in a way, it's kind of seen as like it's a self promotion act. You know, giving away stuff publicly and saying that you're going to be giving away something is in itself advertising and all this stuff. It's partly why a channel like Mr. Beast is like just a monster. Like every video, there is a giveaway or something like that. And people love to see that. People love to see giveaways. People want to win the giveaway too. So they're very optimistic in that regard that they'll win. But, and then we got people pointing out in the chat, there's a ton of scammers out right now with giveaways and stuff like that. So it's a very, it's hard to decide on if you want to go down that path. And I feel like once you start down that path, it does create like a lot of like, when's the next giveaway? When's the next give? Like I see that in a lot of, cause I know, especially early days in tech channels, there used to be giveaways all the time. I remember, I know creators that used to do giveaways back then that like never do a giveaway now. Yeah. And, you kind of go into the comments sections. I don't think I really see this on any of my videos, but you go into comment section on other people's videos, like when's the next giveaway? When's the next giveaway? And it's like, all right, is that really what this is all about? Like, okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not into it. That's why if I do giveaway type things, I do it when no one knows about it.
Yeah.
You know. So, whatever. Hey, let's get into some cool things.
You should do a giveaway of the Genius Cloth.
Well, we're going to do a giveaway of another one of these headphones, but it's yours to figure out. You need to figure out who to give the...
After that whole thing about how I don't like doing giveaways. Hey, we got these headphones to give away.
Yeah, right. Well, we have two left. One that for sure has the GadgetCast logo on it. I gave mine to 504. It's in the mail. He'll probably have it here in the next 2 days. He'll probably have his in the next 2 days. Mm. So you need to give away one, Greg. I don't know if you want to do it this week or next week.
It cost not me this like, week. Definitely not right. this week.
All right. So then figure it out for next week, man, so I can get this thing off my desk.
I'm just going to look at the list of people we got watching here. Okay. Who said nice things about me? Nicholas says he's loyal to Genius Bar. Sorry, bud. Oh, not for you.
Disqualified.
Disqualified. Yeah, we got some people. All right, I'll consider. Yeah. I'll consider some people.
We'll see.
Let's get five all or right. four, another set.
Yeah, let's get him two pairs. No. So all right. So here's the thing. Let's talk about Oculus Quest 2 again. I know we're not gonna be coming to Oculus Quest cast, although I wouldn't mind it. Because again, I've spent another week just in love with my Oculus Quest. You finally got more time with actually, I think last week you hadn't even really touched it. So yeah. Now you've spent some time. I know you have some issues, and we're gonna talk through this. I'm really interested. So tell me, what happened? You got off GadgetCast a day or so later. You put it on. What's going on?
So I did the initial setup, which, by the way, you know, I like to talk about the negatives of all these products. The setup for these things, I feel like, is awful. Like, because the first thing you do is you want to put it on. You're like, I want to get into VR. There is so much to learn with these headsets. You're at least in there for like an hour doing like tutorial stuff. Even if you go to play like a game, like you're done with the Oculus tutorial, you gotta go to the game and then you gotta learn all the mechanics for that. So the first hour is actually really annoying. I think at one point you have to take off your headset and grab your phone to like enter in like your account information. It's like, okay, now I gotta take this off. It's like, all right. Once I got into it, I did kind of like what you said. I didn't have time to play a game that night. So I was like, all right, let me watch some VR videos. Let me like navigate the interface. And I was kind of liking the initial part of it. It kind of feels like you're just in like this big desktop where you can like move the windows around. There's like a web browser. There's a YouTube app. There's a Netflix app. And you can go in, you can watch like regular videos and they're on like a huge screen. Or you can find like these special 360 or 180 videos and you kind of look around and it's a little bit more immersive and you can look at different things as they're happening. And it's cool. But I kind of didn't feel compelled to like go in and put the headset on to kind of do that stuff. Like I just felt like, yeah, I got a big TV that looks better than this. I don't know why I'd spend time like really watching video in here. Mm-hmm. So the main thing that really attracted me to it is the gaming. And there's a game I love, Resident Evil 4. It's like one of the best games ever. And they have a VR version of that. It's actually the reason why I bought the Quest 2 is because I just wanted to try that game out in VR because it's one of my favorite games. And I did the setup. And again, I had to go through this like giant tutorial. But there is a bunch of different modes you can pick with this game. And I really wanted the most immersive mode I could get. So I picked everything full immersion. So like if you wanted to grab a knife, he has like a holster like right here. And you would reach with the controllers. They're all motion controllers. So you have to like reach here. You press the trigger. You grab the knife. You move it around like, whoa, what? So that's cool, right? If you had to get your gun, you would reach in the bottom right, pull it out of the holster, hold it up. If you need to reload, you actually need to grab the ammo. You can't just press a button to reload. All that stuff, and it takes your mind like a second to adjust if you're used to playing video games at all, because you're like, I just pressed this button. No, wait, I got to do that. Okay. So I was actually having some fun playing in that mode, and I know you wanted me to like film myself doing it for the first time. I was thinking about putting that, like having like a clip ready for you on GadgetCast to play. It would be the most boring thing we've ever watched, because I know you're expecting, oh, Resident Evil, scary game. Greg's going to be like, oh, no. It's just me going, just swinging, you know, swinging my arms for the audio listeners, swinging my arms, just not making any crazy sounds or motions. I'm not scared from this game at all.
I still want to see that, though.
I would just look like a big dork. And I know that's what Travis wants. I know Travis would want me looking like a big dork, but that video would just like live on the internet forever as like the Star Wars kid or something like that, where people would be like, play is going, look at this doofus in VR pretending to swing a knife, trying not to hit his furniture. Trying not to knock something over because there's times where it's like in the game, you kind of, so again, I picked full immersion. There's like a mode where you can teleport. We'll probably talk about that later. But that's supposed to help reduce motion sickness, but I want it like full immersion. Like if I'm playing a game, I want to be able to move myself. I want it to feel like a video game I would play, because that's the dream for me. So I set it to that, and there's parts where I'm like walking and I kind of want to like walk with my VR character. So I'd like move forward and like get dangerously close to like a shelf or a table. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I need like an empty room that has no furniture in it to actually fully enjoy this, and maybe like the world's biggest treadmill. And I don't know. But yeah, I was having a lot of fun with the Quest 2 in this game because it's a game I like. The immersion was there. Like, I was really impressed by all that stuff. But unfortunately, about 30 minutes into this playing, and I just did this right before GadgetCast, so like, I got to try this out. I got to give my like initial impression of this. I started feeling sick. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to throw up. I start feeling like I'm about to throw up.
Yeah.
The worst part is, Travis, I just beat like this. There's a part in Resident Evil 4. If you've played this game before, you know what I'm talking about. You go through like this little section, and eventually you get to like this small village where you're facing like 100 enemies come at you, basically, and you're facing them off. You're like hiding in a house. So I had just cleared that section in VR. It was actually pretty tough because I was just like new to the controls and everything, having to like reload the shotgun like manually, all that stuff. It was like, I got through it and I was like, I did it. I want to throw up. I gotta save though. There's no like auto save. You like have to find a save point.
Oh no.
So I was like, I really didn't want to play anymore. And I was like, I just got to go back to the last save I remember. I'm not even going to advance. I'm just going to go back to the last save point I remember. I was running backwards. I was like closing my eyes in the VR like, oh no, I got to make it to the save point in case I want to get back to this. So I did get back to the save point and I took it off and it took me like 20 minutes to feel normal again.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, I don't know if I can like fully enjoy this. Now people have like pointed me to like videos going, here, you could try this to reduce VR sickness, but it's all these things that are like, use the teleport. I don't want to use teleport controls. Like, I don't, right. I'd rather just play it on my regular, like that. The fact that I can't move around freely would be less immersive to me than being in the VR world. If that makes sense. Like full independent movement in a game is very, very important. So I'm going to give it a couple more tries. I'm going to see like, okay, maybe if I can adjust to this. I think a big problem for me, and this is to the credit of VR maybe in a way, is I kind of forget to breathe when I'm playing. It's kind of like, yeah, you're kind of like tensed up because you're like playing and you're like, you're very immersed in the world. So I feel like maybe if I like concentrate on my breathing, like take deep breaths, maybe I wouldn't feel that way. We have Gary, the Everyday Dad, in the chat saying the same thing. He played through Half-Life Alyx, which is probably the premier VR game.
I'm going to play that. I gotta get that. Is that on PC only?
I think it's on PC, but you can hook up the Quest to the PC to do it.
Right.
That's like the best VR game. And that's the one that probably has the most thought out controls. So the fact that he got motion sickness and had to use the teleport controls kind of makes me feel like if I want this experience, I'm probably going to get sick.
Well, okay, not necessarily. Here's the thing. For the first time since I've had this thing, I got sick yesterday with a game that I just bought. So the game is basically like a 2D, it's almost like a 2D side-scrolling game, except for you're in the game. So it's like the beat-em-up kind of game, and it's really fun. But you do like the non-teleport. I mean, I think you can teleport, but I didn't want to do that. I walked around, right? And by the end of it, like 20-something minutes in, I was feeling bad. I was feeling sick. So I realized that despite the fact that I spent a lot of time playing a bunch of games and lots of videos and stuff and never had a single problem, that game did it to me. And it's because of the movement. So there are tons of other games you can play where you will not feel that way but still be immersed. Beat Saber is one of them. Beat Saber is just fun as hell. It's so much fun. You got to play that. Super Hot, I love. Because you feel like you're in the Matrix and you're a badass. Now, I remember seeing Super Hot on like the Xbox or something. I never downloaded it because it didn't make any sense to me. But in VR, it's an amazingly fun game. And you will not get sick doing that because you don't move. I mean, your character doesn't move. And it's very immersive. So there are games that you can play that will not get you sick. Having said that, I did want to do more first-person shooter games because that seemed like the coolest thing. Like, I really wanted to do that. I still do. I want to find other games to see if I can, but I am worried that, and I've done teleport games and it's been fine. It's just not as immersive to your point, but as soon as you start walking smooth, it really jacks your head up. Now, can you get used to it? I don't know. I think maybe some people's brains just, it won't work. I think some people will just never get used to it. And like I was watching this video, like the guy I think sent it to you. If you do it too often, your brain will naturally associate with it. Just me talking about that game, I can already feel it in my stomach, which is weird. Just talking about that other game. But anything else, like I'll go in the other room right now, I'll play Beat Saber here on the live stream. I love that game. So for me, it's different because 90% of everything I've done on it has been fine. It's been perfect. I literally went on Viper's live stream yesterday because one of the things you can do without even a cable is you can wirelessly connect it to your PC and have access to your computer. And now your computer is like 8 feet big, which is awesome. And it you know, everything about it is cool. And I think what Oculus has done, and the reason, now, first of all, VR has been out for a very long time. It's not like Beat Saber and stuff hasn't been around. There have been VR sets for the longest time, but they were expensive and they were all cabled. And the ones that weren't cabled weren't all that great. Now you got something that is not cabled. It's darn good, and it's not that expensive. Like, brand new, $300, $200 for the one I got. Like, it's hard to not put that on your Christmas list and not at least give it a shot. But what it really is interesting is the social aspect. And this is, and I know you're not a super social guy, Greg, but to answer your question earlier, like, you get like this apartment thing and you can kind of put things in the way you want to around your apartment and you can watch movies and stuff there. You can invite people over and have a virtual get together. And there are meetings, there's meeting software that if you like work for a company and, you know, you're all virtual, you literally can have a board meeting with people in a virtual room with like a whiteboard and everything. And even people who don't have VR can join via like Zoom or something and like have their video up in the room. There's so many practical use cases for VR that it excites me to see what Apple would do. Because again, I feel like Apple will put that extra bit of polish on it. They might charge you $12,000, but they're going to put that extra bit of polish on it to do the things that make it even more seamless. I'm so curious.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I'm kind of like, I like the tech a lot. This is something I've tried to get into for a long time. I've had PlayStation VR. I ran into the same exact problems with PlayStation VR. I want it to love it so bad because I just feel like it is so close to like really immersing me. And if you're a video game player, this is exactly what you want. You want to be living in these worlds. The more immersive it gets, the better. So I really like the tech. I don't want to hate on, I went into this device wanting to love it. So the fact that that I'm saying all this and again, I had a good experience for the first 30 minutes until I got the motion sickness, that I do want to see a well polished version of this. And the fact that Apple might be targeting like a super premium device where it's going to be a ton of money is scary. But at the same time, it makes me go, maybe they figured it all out, though. Maybe they put so much money into this that it's like motion sickness. No way. We thought of that. And it's like we got all these different things inside of our version that like is going to fully simulate your head and you're not going to experience those. I don't know. Something like that. But yeah, I think the Quest 2, from your standpoint of like accessibility, $300 for this. You're definitely right that like it is at the point where it can be a mainstream level. I think it's been selling very well over the holidays. I've seen it like number one on Amazon for like video game stuff. But I think I think it risks being that hot gimmick of the season. Because I think a lot of people who are less forgiving than me, because again, I've tried this technology before, it didn't work. I tried a newer version of it. I thought, okay, maybe now it works. I think you give this to a normal person and they experience the same thing I did. They're going, I'm never trying that again. That made me sick. That's, that's getting returned. That's never getting turned on again. So first impressions with this stuff is so important. And it's a big risk when you throw out a product like that that doesn't work for everyone. And someone can walk away going, I feel sick. And it's to the point where it is very well known that your first time trying VR will probably make you sick if you're playing any of these games. Like, there's discussions everywhere about VR sickness with video games. It happens to a lot of people. And that is what I'm worried about with this technology. The fact that we're getting out a lot of stuff very quick before we have these major problems figured out is bad in a way, because it can just make people completely go, forget about it. I don't care.
Well, you know, the thing is, I feel like you're right. A lot of the, quote, average consumers are going to one and done it. Either they're going to have a great first experience, which I think it would behoove companies like, this is why I think Apple, where Apple will succeed, is that they will make sure that your first many experiences are positive. They'll let you play your music, maybe watch a movie, they'll do the things that won't, that have a very low chance of getting people sick, very low. And I think that they'll move people up, which is what, remember last week I told you, I said, watch a VR movie on YouTube, do that first, then do something like Beat Saber, the demo or something, and then get into a game, something like that. Then get into a game that moves and stuff. It's like gradually move yourself up, because I do believe you can go the opposite direction and be like, I'm out. You're probably right about that. Having said that, there is a middle ground, but it's up to the companies making these things to get the proper products out there. Like, I didn't know until just the other day that you can just use your hands. I didn't know that for some features. Viper had to tell me on a live stream that you don't even need the controllers for certain things. You can just literally use your hands. So there's things that you just don't even know when you're first playing around with it. There's game stuff that, like, I'm still learning about, and movies and stuff that I'm just hearing about that I'm like, oh crap, when I get a chance, I need to go try that. Because it's such a deep kind of ecosystem of things, unlike, you know, something that's curated by the manufacturer to go, this is the path that's going to give you the most success right off the bat, and you should do this first. And I have a feeling Apple would do that, and it would be smart if they end up doing something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I still think there needs to be... I still think Oculus doesn't have the user interface figured out for me. Mm. Like, it's cool, and I can get it, because I feel like I use, like, so many tech products. It's like, okay, I do this, I do that. Right. But even there's times where I'm navigating, like, different games where it's like, yep, how do I move to this menu? And it takes me a while to figure out everything. Yep. I have the patience for that, but I know, like, an everyday user is just going to be like, wait a minute, how do I do... Okay, oh,
right.
All right, I'm done. So that's where I need someone like Apple to come in and go, here's how you correctly navigate a user interface in virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cool things about VR is, like, again, in Resident Evil, there's like a communicator, and you'll like pull it out and you're literally holding what looks like kind of like a phone or something like in your hand. Mm-hmm. And the way you move it around is very like real life. Like, it's like almost like you actually have like a phone in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if Apple could just be like, here's like your VR world. To navigate everything, here's your phone or something like that. And it's like, oh, I know how to use an iPhone. I can navigate this stuff very simply. Like, I wonder if you could do something like that. Oculus kind of has it like it's like, again, like a, it feels like a desktop web browser half the time, which I don't know if is exactly the right call. But again, you to really take advantage of this stuff, someone needs to figure out like the motion controls better too. Because the Oculus Quest, for what it is pretty good at motion control. But it's not precise, you know, it's not perfect. Like, there's parts in like the game I was playing where you have to like tap on stuff, and it's very easy to like miss it, and you kind of have to like do like a second time to go, oh, mm-hmm, it was actually right here.
Right.
So if you could get like super precise hand motion gestures, I don't know if you could put on like some like VR gloves and get it like really precise. The possibility with this technology is actually super exciting. It's definitely still in the infancy stage of all this tech, but it's at a point where you can use it once, you can start drawing the lines in your head, and you can kind of see in 10 years where this technology might be, and I think that's the most exciting part of it. It's very, it's still very early days. I think you'd agree with that, right? Like,
yeah, it's 100%.
But man, it'll be really cool. And especially as like graphics get better on this, more realistic. Did you play that Matrix demo they released on like PS5 and Xbox?
Yeah, it's incredible.
The graphics on that, like in VR, like I'm like putting all the pieces together, like, mm-hmm, man, like in 10 years, this stuff's going to be legitimately insane.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day, the upside of this is incredibly high. I almost feel silly for being so far behind, but I know a lot of people are jumping on this year and stuff, and probably last year too with COVID. Like, this was probably clutch in COVID. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even maybe the Quest 1. I don't know exactly when the
Quest I think the Quest 1 was kind of like not good. Like a lot of people, like based on the reviews I was reading, like jumping into the Quest 2, I think was the perfect time to jump in to that device. And I think the only reason, I don't think there's a mistake why you, me, and Viper pick this up all within like a week. You know what I mean? The reason why is because like how many articles and stuff have you read about like the metaverse and all this stuff? Like it is grabbing the attention of people at this point with like virtual reality. And I think you just kind of realize like I should probably try this out if this is actually going to be a thing. Is this just a bunch of, you know, smoke, or is there actually something to this? And after walking away from this, I think there is something to this. I just need it to come faster for me, and I still need them to fix out some of the issues, or hopefully they can fix some of the issues with like the motion sickness.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just too old, and then like younger people be like, what do you mean motion sickness? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Definitely what's happening. Okay. let's talk real quick about some of the Apple stuff that's coming out in 2022. Like I said, I was telling, I think in the beforecast, was talking a little bit about how I'm thinking of doing a video about the iMac that I just got. So I got the iMac. It took a little while because, you know, they're all back ordered, which is kind of crazy. I mean, this far after the fact. The only thing I changed is I got the one with the extra USB ports, which I think means it has 8 cores of GPU. Like, it doesn't matter. And 16 gigs of RAM. I just wanted to make sure I had enough. And Lord knows, I mean, I like it just because of the colors and stuff. And I just started using it today as like, because I had it off to the side and it was a glorified iMessage thing, really, for me, is all I was using it for. But today I kind of used a little bit of a Final Cut to sync my audio, because for the last couple of videos, I don't know if you noticed, I've been using my mic from the Rodecaster for the audios of my videos. I think it sounds a lot better. And I've been just manually syncing the audio. So I put it in Final Cut and I'm like, I think I can do this automatically. And I was like, oh! It was so nice. Yeah. But I think we're so close. I don't know. Are we close to... We're close to a refresh of iMacs. Not necessarily of this version of the iMac. And I think my video, if I do one, will be essentially... Because what's going to happen is they're going to start seeing all these videos about M2. And like, well, why would I buy the Mac Mini right now? Why would I buy the M1 iMac? Like, why would I buy any of those things? But... there are reasons that you would, because some of the stuff that's coming out, Greg, isn't exactly replacements for this stuff.
No. So what we're expecting to see in this first lineup in 2022 from Apple is still like their Pro products. They just released the Pro versions of the MacBook Pro. And when those were released, people got big sticker shock and they're going, whoa, whoa, whoa. $2,000 is the starting price for these. I can't afford that. I thought we were getting $1,000 MacBook, and it's like, no, that's the MacBook Air. Oh, what about the other MacBook Pro, the $1,300 one that didn't get refreshed? And it's kind of like you kind of have to explain, like, well, it has that name, but it's kind of a different product, you know? So you kind of have to think of these as even more so now consumer level products and pro level products. And I think for the M1 iMac, you're saying you're scared to make a video on it. I don't think we would see the M2 version of an iMac possibly to the end of this year or next year, possibly end of next year. Maybe that product even goes into like 2023. So to deprive yourself of an iMac and M1 version right now, I feel like is a little bit silly. But if you're like looking for like a 27 inch iMac, you should probably wait. Cause they're saying probably March of 2022, which isn't that long away. For a refresh of this bigger version of the iMac, possibly like M1 Max. There might be like 2 M1 Max chips in that, Travis, if you can believe that. Like they're going to put like 2 of them or 2 what? M1 Pro chips in. Yeah, like they're going to like combine 2 chips together to like boost the processing power and all this stuff. And that has me really excited if those rumors turn out to be true, because I was kind of wondering like, what's kind of the point of getting these desktop computers from Apple if they are going to be like the M1 iMac and just kind of have the same processor? Like, I love the iMac. I love desktop computers. But like, from like a cost-saving perspective, it's like, okay, I should probably just get a MacBook Pro and then get like an external monitor. But if it is going to actually have like power benefits, I'm all for that, because it's like, okay, this thing's hooked up to a wall. It doesn't need to be battery efficient. Let that thing use as much power as possible. And I don't, have you went to like the Apple store recently to like look at like the 14 and 16 inch MacBook Pros? Because the displays on those things are like,
okay, so I'm an good. Idiot. I was literally there today and I forgot. No.
You got to look at them. They
I
are
forgot.
So, they're so good. So I'm thinking like a 27 inch iMac with that display, 120 hertz with mini LED. It'll be the best display on the market. I hope Apple gets into gaming because I would love to just play games on that thing because it would just be the perfect display. There's no good PC monitor out there that's like fast refresh rate and good display quality. I don't know how PC monitors haven't cracked this yet, but I need Apple to come in and do it so someone else makes it so then I can buy the cheaper version of it. Because it's embarrassing how like you have to like choose between high refresh rate or like an actual good screen.
Yeah, so let's talk about that real quick before you get into the other stuff. When will we see that on entry level kind of MacBooks? I mean, obviously, right now we're kind of far off, but we know it eventually will come. We know that. I think we know that.
Yeah, for MacBooks and stuff like that, I would probably say, again, I don't know. These are all rumors. Just based on the timeline and stuff like that, based on all these pushbacks with like chip shortages, I'd probably say the end of 2022 is when you'd see a refresh of all these products. I don't feel like Apple's in any rush to upgrade the M1s just because they're so good. Like, I don't feel like there's like really a fire there, but there is a fire to kind of update these Pro products that they have. And I can't see like Apple in March going, we refresh the iMac. And also we refresh the iMac with M1 Pro. And also we got the M2 MacBook. Like, I just don't kind of see that happening. Mm-hmm. I feel like that needs to kind of be separate. And I feel like they'll probably have a good grasp at it by the end of the year. And then by the end of the year, when they refresh the M2 products, you might actually see mini LED come down to those lower end product lines, which is really good. Because I think out of all the Pro features you could throw at a consumer, everyone loves a good display. And those displays are really good. Everyone will like watch movies on them and be like, this is amazing.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day, we can look at this and say, Apple does have like a program where you can trade in stuff towards other things, which, you know, might be something to take advantage of, depending on, you know, what exactly happens. But I'm not really in there. This thing has more of the power than what I need. It's at this point, it's all about like looks for me, because I don't think I'll be able to take advantage of whatever power the next one will have over top of this anyway. Like, I don't think it's going to, so it'll either be display like 120 Hertz and stuff and, you know, my mini LED. And then I'm like, okay, I might do that. By the way, I found something out today because I was watching, for the first time I watched YouTube on the iMac. And I'm like, this looks kind of dull. The coloring looks dull. So I started farting around in the settings. And the display settings were defaulted at something called iMac. But there's a bunch of other settings, which I thought was pretty cool. And I played with a couple of them. And then I went to 702, which is the standard color kind of SDR, which I thought wouldn't look as good as 2020, which is more HDR. But it looks great. Like, you put it in 702 SDR mode, and everything started popping. The colors were beautiful. I'm like, oh, this screen looks really good. And I wonder how many people don't know that and have it in the default setting and think that the screen that they have isn't all that great. I remarked when I got the MacBook Air, I was kind of amazed at how good the screen was. I'm like, I've seen a lot of laptop screens before, but for some reason, this display looks really good. And I know it wasn't OLED or anything like that. It just seemed really good. And I think they've done it again with this iMac. It's just that I think they're kind of sandbagging it with this iMac color scheme. So it's something that you might want to take a look at if you have not already done and you have an iMac. Change that setting, man. It looks incredible.
I have it on the default setting. I haven't noticed it looking washed out. So I wonder.
Well, it's because you're used to it. Because I have HDR screens everywhere in my house. Like, these two monitors here on my PC are HDR. So I've always noticed this kind of, you know, this richer color. So then when I'm like, well, why does this look so kind of dark or whatever? So then I turn it on. I'm like, oh, this is kind of messed up. And then I changed it. I'm like, oh my God, there it is. And it just pops. It's a different level of beauty in my, now some people might go, oh, it's too saturated, but I think it looks great personally. But yeah, so at the end of the day, like, I'm not moving from this Mac. The only, like, if I decide to like sell it or something, that's one thing, but if I end up using it more often, I'm not gonna look to upgrade this thing to whatever the Pro version of it is. I don't see that happening for me. I think I'm gonna be the person that just gets the consumer level stuff if I get anything, you know.
I mean, the consumer stuff is really so good at this point from these M1 machines that even, like, I really don't need the pro level stuff. It was kind of more of like an indulgence. So I totally get that. I think for most people, the bang for the buck is the entry level. I don't know. You need to be doing some pretty, pretty crazy stuff on those pro level machines to like really take advantage of them, to really make it worth the money. If you're one of those people, you're like so happy about these pro level machines. I just love the technology behind it all though. So I always get excited. Any little update, I'm like, ooh, they made it that faster. Cool. I can export my video this much faster. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's different. Really, like,
but it kind of doesn't matter. It's like, listen,
that I was happy when LumaFusion upgraded the, up to the point where like my renders take half the time now, my exports take half the time. That's listen, you save me time. I might spend that money, man.
I do save about half the time on the like new MacBook Pros.
Wow.
You know, sometimes it's like, let me export, go grab something to eat or, make a coffee. And it's like, I guess I'll just wait this 2 minutes and hit upload.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes out this coming up year. But we're also expecting some other things. We'll talk about some of this stuff next week as well. But let's just pick one more device that has been rumored, and we'll do the rest next week. What is the one thing in 2022 you're actually really looking forward to? Like of all the things that have been teased?
Well, I probably talked about it, the iMac. I really want to see that. So I'll have to pick something else. I did a video today about the new Apple Watches coming out, which I thought was pretty interesting. Because apparently every single model is going to get refreshed. So there's going to be a new SE. So I think a lot of like nice features will come down to that budget level line. I feel like the Series 8 has to be like a bigger upgrade this year, considering the Series 7 was kind of very minor. There's not really too many rumors about that, but I feel like it's going to get like a new health sensor, better processing, all that stuff. But the one that's really interesting to me is there's apparently going to be a new like rugged version of the Apple Watch. They're calling it like the Explorer Edition. And you know, like those Casio G-Shock watches that are pretty popular that have like a rubbery body on the outside. That's basically what this rumored Apple Watch is going to look like. And it got me thinking, because, Apple making like a more durable watch like that is great. I just don't feel like Apple Watch is breaking in the wild. I don't think it's like a huge problem. Maybe it is. I feel like this is a chance for them to make a different model that's more geared towards those users. And one of the complaints I hear about is from people who are like out there hiking all day or doing like these like extreme sports. And the Apple Watch battery isn't enough for them because they'll be out camping at like a multi-day period outside away from a charger. And the one day battery life isn't going to do it for them. They don't want to bring like an external thing to charge their Apple Watch every single night. So they actually need like true multi-day battery life. And I think this is a good chance for Apple to make this rubber version of the Apple Watch. And because it has like a rubber exterior that's made on durability, they can make that thing thicker and heavier because it's targeting a very specific user here. And that means they could put in more battery, make this thing like a true two-day Apple Watch battery. And I think that'd be pretty popular for those users and just also other users who are like, you know what? I like the styling of that type of watch. Or I just want, hey, just give me two-day battery life. That's what I've always wanted out of an Apple Watch. So I think that product's actually pretty exciting. And it gives Apple a chance to kind of move away from that traditional Apple Watch design. Try something different here.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm still curious at the iPad refresh. I don't feel like I need to upgrade, but you know, I'm an iPad guy. I just need to see it. I don't know what they're doing. It's probably not gonna. I might still end up getting it. It's hard for me to ever say no to an iPad. If they ever do another iPad mini, I will buy it if it gets 120 hertz. Otherwise, I wouldn't need it. I've noticed more on this iPad mini more than on any other product, the lack of 120 hertz. Most other devices from Apple, even if they don't have 120 hertz, I don't really notice it. I absolutely notice it on the iPad mini for some reason. I don't know why. Like, it seems really clunky to me. Do you notice that at all or no?
I feel like more than now that every device I use is 120 hertz, Mac. Now that it's every device, I do notice it a little bit more. It's not even that big of a deal for me still. The thing that does, I really want the mini LED display on it now.
Now
I look at my iPad Pro and I'm like, this looks beautiful. I go to here and now it starts looking washed out, like you were saying with your iMac. I'm like, all right, this looks a little washed out in comparison sometimes. But yeah, I use mine during GadgetCast all the time. I take little notes down. I'm like,
I love it.
Talk about this.
I love it. I love the iPad mini. It's in the other room. I use it a lot of times when I'm watching TV. Before we end the show, I do want to do kind of the experiment that I talked to you about. I want to put on my VR headset and connect to the live stream. Now, how is this going to work? You're not going to be able to hear the. I wish that the audio listeners could hear the audio quality from. So we'll do that in the aftercast, because you'd have to do too much editing. So if you're listening to the audio podcast, come to the YouTube channel.
Get the VR exclusive. Yeah. Number one, people in the audio podcast aren't going to even see you in VR. They'd be like, who cares? So
This is a
YouTube exclusive.
Right. Folks. It's a YouTube exclusive. So make sure you come to youtube.com/gadgetcast. Do something special that Greg will notice you so that we can send you this other, I'm spending like 15, 20 bucks every time I send one of these out, this other exclusive GadgetCast headphone. And then we'll have one more that I don't think has the logo on it, but at least it's something, right? Since it's the Christmas time, and you have to impress Greg, cause I've already given mine away. Good luck.
Impress me. It's easy.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Say nice things about me. Say something nice about my hair. Yeah. Best comment about my hair wins.
All right, look.
Thank you.
Here's what's going to happen. We're going to end the audio podcast. Again, if you're listening to the audio podcast and you just can't get enough of us, go over to youtube.com/gadgetcast and watch the tail end of this, because it's about to get crazy. As always, he's Greg, I'm Travis, and this is GadgetCast.